Hey, welcome to the Mead House. Jeff here.
Chris here. How was Scout Camp, man?
Man, I tell you what, my heart is full. My mind is clear. My right leg looks like I shoved it into a badger's den, wiggled it around a little bit, and finally got it out when it got bored. But otherwise...
You didn't actually put it in a badger's den, did you?
No.
Oh, good, good, good.
But, you know, a lot of the pathways at Scout Camp are, they're graveled.
Mm-hmm.
It gets graded, but it's not very sure footing, and I have a bad tendency of twisting my ankle.
Oh, I'm so sorry, man. I hope so. Well, get well soon.
About once a day, I slipped, and then I got some blisters. I've got a couple of them on my, like, one on my big toe and one, like, right under my big toe on the sole of my foot. So, not a lot of fun. But, you know, I had a great time. My son had a fantastic time. It's wonderful to be back there and spending time with him, reconnecting and enjoying some of those fond memories from my own childhood, too, and getting to share that with him is just...
I bet it's just stellar.
Wonderful.
Yeah, I hope you learned a lot, had a lot of fun. But, hey, time for Mead.
Yes, it is.
So, first of all, thank you for all your listeners out there. Came in, joined us time after time. Got a few new people. Welcome. Welcome.
We always love to see it. The numbers keep coming, climbing, sometimes a little, sometimes a lot. Either way, we're so grateful for that additional support and the additional just, you know, people tuning in week after week. It's fantastic to see. Mm-hmm. I love to see it.
And I was actually out and about this last weekend, and I talked to a few people who said, I'm kind of scared to make meat. I referred them to us, of course, mm-hmm. and I told them, if you have questions for us here, don't be shy. info@themeathouse.com. We'll answer your questions, man.
Absolutely.
We'll answer them on air. We'll answer you online. It doesn't matter. We want you to know. But anyway, but thank you all for joining in, and let's get started with it. Now, the second person people we have to thank is...
Of course, Box
and Barleycorn. Yeah. Box and Barleycorn has been our sponsor for 2 years now. And they're still dedicated to getting this information out and supporting people who do, and like us, and we are very grateful for that. Jake and the team there do a fantastic job.
They have so much, whether it's the knowledge you need, the ingredients, the equipment, you can't go wrong. And if they don't have it, as we've said multiple times before, I'm pretty sure they got a line on where to get it.
Yeah. Absolutely. And, you know, and they even have the recipes. And if you're having trouble, they have the knowledge to help you fix if it can be fixed. Mm-hmm. And it's great. Now, not just meat or beer or wine, but kombucha, cheese, and yogurt.
Yeah. They've got basically any kind of home fermentation you're into, as well as some distilling now.
Yeah.
Because that's becoming a thing as well.
It's becoming a thing as well. But they got the information. They're more than glad to share it. And if you happen to stop by, you can enjoy a small drink on them.
Mm-hmm. And whether you're buying there or online, use our promo code
MHP10
and get 10% off your order.
So, yeah. So, please.
Take advantage of that, guys.
Yeah, take advantage of it. Let them know that we're doing our part and they can help you do yours. And they're already competitive, guys. So, just take advantage of it.
It sweetens the deal just a little bit more.
Today, I want to talk about why aging
mm-hmm.
and what to do and how long aging should take.
Right. We wanted to talk a little bit about aging, and we've been talking some about, you know, session meads. We're getting into that summer season. It's a great time to do session meads. So we'll talk a little bit about aging a session mead, if that's a thing you even need to do, and some of the finishing steps as well.
I think
we wanted to
touch on that too.
Let's hop to our mead of the day here. This is from Avogard Meadery. This is a blueberry mead.
And you nice. Said that you've gotten a lot of blueberry cobbler at the camp.
Yes.
This is very appropriate. Several
different little Cracker Barrel nights at the campsite, and cork is still tight.
Still tight. I'm sorry about that. I thought I got it loosened enough there. I apologize.
It's easy enough to fix.
Ah, beautiful.
That's a pop.
And as a blueberry mead, of course, it's going to be purple.
Mm-hmm.
Deep red purple. And Oppenheimer rarely chintzes on the flavor.
Oppengard. It's not that big of a fruit bomb.
Okay, fine.
Oppengard. Bunch.
Yeah, watch my movie selection. As I said, it's a dark red.
Mm-hmm. You hold it up to the light, you get ruby red, but it's without the light, it's pretty opaque, dark
purple.
Mm-hmm. And there's a nice...
Oh, yeah, a lot of blueberry in that.
Berry scent, little honey sweetness there. Mm, that's a nice smell. A little syrupy, a little tart. The blueberry's there.
You've got a few little legs on that if you swirl a little bit.
Oh, it sure does.
Yeah.
What's the ABV on this guy? It's 14%. I would call this a semi-sweet, really.
Yeah, maybe a little bit high side of the semi-sweet, but semi-sweet.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of acid in the fruit, and I think that is kind of toning down the sweetness
Yeah,
level.
which is wonderful.
Yes, this is a very nice little sipper.
I mean, anybody out there who doesn't know the three legs of what you're looking for is sweet, acid, and tannin. And this is just a touch heavy of the acid, but it really curbs the other parts to a nice little flavor.
And the tannin is up there. It's in a good spot. I think the sweetness is up there too. I think this is really nicely balanced. It might be a little slight in the acid,
To me, it
right?
is, but that's just my
I
impression.
think acid tends to make a lot more lively, fun meat anyway.
It,
So,
it's like adding lemon juice to a dish you're making at home. It makes it brighter. So
for
it's
sure.
wonderful light. But anyway, aging and when it's important, when it's not, it almost always a little bit of aging never hurts.
Right. And the question of how much aging and what you can accomplish by aging is really the question here.
Yeah.
We talked a little bit lately about session meads. And, before we've talked about, when we started this channel, I believe we started with a 12%
Yes.
basic recipe,
Yeah, that's right. Exactly
which
right.
is, I like to think of 12% as kind of a middle of the road. 12 to 14% is that kind of sweet spot for most meads. Most people are trying to shoot that 12 to 14%.
It's absolutely a legitimate way to start. I mean, you're not hurting yourself time-wise, and you're not hurting yourself taste-wise. It's just a really good medium area to hit.
And it's pretty common as a alcohol level for wine as well, which is where, like it or not, meat is fairly comparable to wine,
Yes.
just by nature.
Well, in all in the term mead, honey wine and mead is interchangeable without re almost without exception.
By legal definition, I think if you're selling mead in the United States, you have to have honey wine somewhere on the label, even if you're calling it a mead.
Really? I
Because
wasn't aware of that, but hey.
I forget the TTB regulations, but I think that's the long and the short of it. It's
Okay.
somewhere honey wine has to be present, even if it's in the fine print.
Okay. But it's interesting true. But as far as aging, now my early days of mead making, I did not age or oak or a lot of things I learned later on. And but I didn't age. I didn't even consider it, didn't think it was that important, even though I knew full well that some of the best wines in the world are old. It took Jeff a 1x2 board and a little bit of convincing, but he got it through my head. The aging can actually make it better. And actually, even my own experience of I made this thing and I haven't gotten back to getting the second case open in a few months and it was different and better. I mean, there was actual learning even then.
And different meads can benefit from different lengths of aging. I think realistically, the easiest determiner is how much alcohol is in it and how much residual sugar is in it, or how much like added back sweetening, if you will, depending on like where you are in this process that you're doing the aging.
Now, I'm not a big dry mead making person. Does drying take more or less?
I think if you're working with a dry mead, or you're going to leave a mead dry, as we would do in our case, because we generally we add honey to the alcohol percentage and try not to leave residual sugar from the ferment. I would think that if you're just working with a dry mead and you're going to leave it dry, it would require less time for aging, or it maybe the better way to say it is you would get less out of the aging process.
Okay, fair.
I don't know that you're going to get as much, especially if you're not going to do like an oaking step. Oaking, I think, can add a lot to a dry mead.
And well, actually, I've learned that oaking can add a lot to a sweet meat too. I mean, I didn't really until Jeff made me do a little experiment for myself. Leave a little bit of them, just bottle some of it, and then oak the rest of it. I didn't realize it'd be such a profound difference. Now, aging, I found out for a general semi-sweet to sweet mead, 6 to 8 months is generally enough to get a pretty good marry of flavors. I mean, everything's uniform and pretty good.
They start playing nice together. Realistically, I think if you're above 10%, you want to age it at least 2 to 3 months. Otherwise, it's going to kind of have a young flavor to it. And by that, I mean it's going to have probably some yeast character to it, like the actual yeast. The same way you would like you get the smell or the taste of yeast off of raw bread that's being like kneaded before it bakes. That's very much in the same ballpark of the flavor and the smell you're going to get off of your young mead.
Yeah, but mind you, my first mead, again, I do not recommend this for anybody on this earth to do what I did because I was not smart. I did a fruit and spice mead, blackberry vanilla. I did 7 gallons all at once from the very get-go, and because I had my buddy Jeff on speed dial for every panic moment I had in this thing, it came out okay. I now know, and I pushed it to an 18%. I put a pack and a half, 2 packages of yeast in my first couple of batches. Is this enough? I didn't know. I was learning. But I put also a lot of fruit juice in it, or the fruit syrup in it. I mean, I was putting a gallon of the blackberry syrup, which gave the yeast a lot of room to play there.
It really did.
But it turned out pretty good. By the same token, I was drinking it young, going, this is really good, not realizing I didn't realize how much yeast I was tasting, and I wasn't taking a lot of time to smell and define it. When I started doing that, I can't drink even my favorite blackberry vanilla that I make right from the fermenter. I have to let it age now because I know what I'm missing. But I generally age it. I try to age it 6 to 8 months. Or if somebody says, "Can I get some of your mead? Here you go, buddy. Here's some of my mead." It's still kind of young. You might want to wait a few more months. And I'll tell them that. Most of them don't listen. That's on them. But I now know that. At a, I'm not, now I brought my, I no longer do 18%. I do 14, 16 on the outside,
Right.
which is pretty much the limit of the yeast I use now. The time it takes, even 6 months, it's like when you put vanilla beans in sugar and you shake it every day. Eventually, in 4 to 6 months, you're going to have vanilla sugar fairly consistently throughout that container of sugar. It's a very slow process of getting that essence through there. Same thing. All the flavors in the mead have got to have time to balance themselves out.
And generally, like the higher ABV mead, you will also have during your fermentation process, you'll have some byproducts in addition to like the ethanol, the yeast you're making. You'll have little fusels or other kind of more or less waste products that if you let it just sit in secondary, like an initial aging before you even bottle, that can be beneficial as well. You give what yeast is still remaining a little bit of time to clean up and give you a better product in the end. But generally speaking, I think the higher ABV and higher residual sugar or higher sweetness levels, those can age a little bit longer and they get more richness from the end product in that regard. Drier stuff or especially lower ABV stuff, the sessions we've been talking about recently, I don't know that you need to have a very long aging step before they are drinkable. You don't really need to avoid. There's not really much of that young mead phase to avoid. Like we just tasted some of the kvike that I've been brewing.
That's been what, 3 weeks up there, 2 weeks up there?
Not quite three,
Not quite three. Okay. And one's a when they were grapefruit.
One is grapefruit and one is just an orange blossom tradition.
Yeah. And they're dry now because that is the hot one. He's running at 100 degrees in a sauvignon water. I will tell you, just straight out of fermenter, it is. There's not a lot of the ester,
No.
and now and I can and the orange blossom taste orange. And when you use orange blossom honey, we've only had one mead that we've had on our show that the orange blossom just came through as a powerful orange flavor, and that was from Ozark Viking.
Right, and I'm pretty sure a lot of that was the orange blossom he was back sweetening with more than the
Yeah.
stuff he was fermenting on.
But by the same token, this has not had been back sweetened with anything, but you're tasting more orange flavor. Not as much as that bottle, but more orange flavor because the kvike mead throws off citrus instead of bad esters. But by the same token, when you have the bad esters, if you give it time, now, and we've said this before, and I'm going to say it again now because to make this clear, doing it, keeping it in the barrel as you're aging it for 4, 2, 4, 6, 8, 12, whatever months, the entire batch is going to be a uniform flavor. Because no matter how well you've mixed it, bottling it is, you're going to get different combinations of all of that.
This is the difference between bulk aging and bottle aging. The one caveat I will throw out here right now when we're talking about bulk aging, though, remember to move your yeast off of any substantial yeast cake you've got, or move your mead off of any substantial
Yeah.
yeast cake you've got.
Rack it off and keep an eye on it because if you there's a yeast cake forming still, keep racking until there's not.
Because aging on a substantial yeast cake, the yeast will start to autolyze and they will start to cannibalize each other. And you can throw, there are some kinds of wine where what they call Surly aging is desirable. I've had some. I don't care for it. Some people like it. I do not.
I am not a fan of it either.
It is a bitter kind of a flavor that unfortunately you cannot age out. Once it's there, it's there.
So, like we've said many times before, take it off the cake. There's nothing wrong with racking it two, three, five times
As
if that's
many as
what you
you
need
need
to
to
do.
get it a good clear. Yeah.
Mean, if you're not getting a yeast cake at the bottom, you're golden. I mean, I will tell you, the grapefruit he has up there is pretty darn clear after 3 weeks.
Yes, and to circle back to those Clyke Meads, they're only 3 weeks old, and I don't taste any kind of a young character to them.
Yeah,
They
exactly.
are session meads, 8%, but they're basically ready to finish at this point, I think. I could stabilize, back sweeten a little bit to get the real orange flavor out of that. If all I was wanting to do was an orange session, little guy, and it'd be ready to go.
So, but having, I'm hesitant to say it, but I'm going to say it anyway. Less alcohol makes it easier to drink quickly.
Turn around.
Turn around. Okay.
Yeah, it will reach its full potential, I think, is the way we should probably phrase
Yeah,
this,
that would
because
be a, that's a great way to phrase it. If you're going to make a 6% mead, I'm working on that myself. That's the lowest I've ever gone before because my good buddy here said, make a bomb pop mead. And I haven't beaten my head directly against an actual wall yet, but metaphorically a couple times, yeah. But
You can go higher than six if you want.
no, I'm gonna start. I can add a little more if I want. It's hard to subtract.
Yes, it is. It is.
So I'm aiming for 6 to 8, and now if I need to go a little higher to 10, I will. Jeff, just to let you know, the people I've told I'm doing this to, my circle of friends, they said, "Oh, are you planning to layer it like bomb pops?" Curse you, sir. Curse you for putting me in this because they people say, "Oh, it'd be so pretty." Oh, shut up.
No, I'm not going to.
Yeah, it's not that I'm not going to. I'm not going to do it this time. I'm not going to do it this time. I want the flavor of a bomb pop, but I don't want it layered at this point. I mean, I may work with Jeff on that one. See if we can make one that we can layer
That'd be fun.
because we've never had that. I don't think I've never done that before except with alcohols I bought off the shelf.
Right, yeah.
I mean, I bartended and I've done the push cafes and the layered drinks, and it's a lot of fun. It's a headache. It's a lot of fun to
It
see it.
looks like a logistical nightmare, but probably pretty satisfying when you're done.
Yeah, I mean, you have to be very gentle. You have to spoon pour it in just so delicately because, and God forbid if you shake it at all, take it to the customer because then they're mad at you. But I would love people to do that with a mead because I've never heard it done with a mead.
There's no way this would survive in a bottle.
No, it would not. It'd be 3 bottles you pour out to make
Right,
that
yeah, you
mead.
would have to, this would be a serving, we almost need like one of those tall, narrow tulip glass kind of things to serve it in.
Yeah, exactly. It'd be fun to do though.
It would be fun. It
But I'm not doing
seems,
that one alone.
yeah, no, that seems like a just a headache and a half. But when it comes to aging for session meads, I think the other thing we should probably warn about though is that, hey, if you do try to age these, not only are you going to get a lack of a return on investment, sometimes they can kind of go a little flabby and a little, they're just not as exciting a year or two in. You've got some time on them, but I've tried a couple that I made and it's just not as good. It could be better, especially if you're going on the low end, like the 6%. There's just not a lot to do to keep the age on it. And if you're putting fruit in it, the fruit doesn't taste as fresh. It's just not as pleasant.
Yeah.
So
But so yeah, keep that in mind, guys.
the sessions we're talking about now, these are made to be, they are able to be drank soon, and they're probably best drank soon.
Yeah, and so if you're oh look, spring and summer is coming just a few months away. This is excellent. Sessions are an excellent mead to make.
But embrace the ephemera of it.
Yes. The number one way to find out if you like if the aging is where you want it, taste it.
Yes.
I mean, there is nobody anybody that tells you must age it this amount of time is somebody you want to listen to. And we're not going to tell you this because we don't know what your meat tastes like.
Now, Chris, you're mainly bottling in like 750 mil bottles,
Yeah,
right?
most of
The standard wine bottles.
the
If you guys are not sure how long you want to bottle age a mead, before it's drinkable, I would highly suggest, in addition to your 750s, grab like half a dozen little beer bottles, 12 ounces. That gives you something smaller you can pop open and taste periodically to see, is this where I want it yet? And then you know, okay, well now it's time to distribute the full size bottles to friends and family and anybody that might want
And absolutely, I do have beer bottle sized things. Matter of fact, to talk about aging, once upon a time, I made a carbonated mead. And I worked hard on that thing. This is like the seventh or eighth thing I did in mead making. This was really early. And it tasted horrible. It tasted absolutely horrible. And I had these 2.5 cases of beer bottles, bottle capped meads. So I want to try the bottle capping thing at the time, all because why do one thing horrible unless you can do more things horrible at the same time? And I said, "Oh, this is," and I tasted it now. And when I unscrunched my face and peeled my tongue off the roof of my mouth, I'm sitting here. I think that was a failed experiment. Mind you, this was just out, just bottled.
Now,
It
when
wasn't just bottled. It was like truth is, after I put a half a Camden tablet in each one.
half a Camden tablet or half a carb tablet?
Carb tap, carb tap. I'm sorry.
Was gonna say it would taste terrible if you put a half Camden tablet in
It was
there.
a carbonation tablet. I apologize. Put a half one each of the beer bottles, which was a pain in the butt, but I did it. And I had 2.5 cases in my closet, and I was mad. But I had five or six other meads going, and I forgot about it. About Obviously, it's a well-used closet because about 8, 10 months later, I opened the closet again and said, "Oh, those are still there. I have not thrown those away yet." My son says, "Oh, those are really bad," because he tried them too. I said, "Yes, they were absolutely horrible." He goes, "You want to go, dump them so we can keep the bottles?" Absolutely. So we're out there, we're popping bottles, we're pouring it out. And all of a sudden, my son says, "Hey, have you tasted it?" I said, "No, it was horrible. Why would I do that?" So he takes a bottle, pops it, and tastes it. He goes, "Dad, you might want to try this." I tried it. It was still terrible, but it wasn't as terrible.
Aging helps, kind of.
Aging definitively helped. The base core of the horrible taste was still horrible, but it was maybe a third to a fifth as intense. And that was a good, almost a year later on just aging in beer bottles.
Yeah, a number of the, what do we want to say, the flaw flavors you can get in meads can age out. There are some, like the Surly, you can't get rid of. Some of them, for whatever reason, I got a local wildflower honey from a friend of ours, and who is a beekeeper, real fun guy, but he gave me some of his honey and said, "Hey, well, let's try something with this. Just, make me some meat." Okay, bet. And it had a weird bit of flavor in it, just in the honey.
Weird.
I don't know how or why, but I wound up needing to back sweeten it quite a bit and carbonate it to cover that flavor. And that mostly worked. Mostly.
Okay, now I will say that I was taking this drink with my son when this horrible mead, and I said, "You want to keep it now?" I said, "No, it's still really bad. It's just not as bad." And he goes, "What if we leave it longer?" I said, "Being as it's been this long, I cannot imagine this being good at any given point in the future, but it's good information." And we dumped it all out.
Learning
It was a
experience.
learning experience, and I'm glad I did it. I just really should have done it with less bottles.
Fair. Fair.
But here's something I got from a gentleman. He was Middle Eastern in descent and in accent. And this is on my trip I just had. He goes, "You, I, my friend said you do meat." I said, "Yes, I do. What can, is there something I can answer for you?" He goes, "I want to do fig mead,
Okay.
but the honey I have is dark honey." I said, "How dark?" "Buckwheat." I'm sitting here. "I will not say you can't do that. You're talking very thick, rich, heavy mead in the end there." He goes, "What would you put with it to make it lighter?" I said, "I have no idea, to be honest." But I did refer him to the food Bible. Look in the food Bible, see if there's something you could put with fig and perhaps buckwheat honey that would be make it lighter. I would put maybe pie spices in it just to lighten it a bit or give it some depth. Was and I told him that, but I said I honestly did not know. I've never thought about working with Thanks.
Right. Well, and the thing about figs, one thing we should definitely address is that there's a major difference in flavor between like a dry fig and a fresh fig. And it is hard to get fresh figs,
Oh,
especially
yeah, I've
if
never
you're
seen one.
sourcing them for mead making in that quantity. But getting dry figs, that's the thing you can do. And I think if you're going to go the buckwheat route, you almost need to do the dried figs instead of the fresh figs, because I, as from what I've heard, fresh figs have a much more light, delicate flavor.
Well, apparently he had come into, I mean, I didn't ask a lot of questions because he didn't have time. I
Sure.
was waiting to stand there and talk longer if he wanted to, but he didn't have time. He goes, "But I was given a lot of honey." And I said, "Awesome. It's buckwheat honey." And I said, "Not quite as awesome, but awesome. And I want to use fig." And I'm sitting here, "Let me give you some places to look." Because I have never worked with either buckwheat or fig. So you're talking about an area I really don't know. But yeah, hopefully he'll, I told him, give us a call here, write us here, tell us how he does. He goes, "Oh, there's actually things like this." I said, "Oh dear, you don't go on the internet very much, do you?" "Yes, we actually do this."
It's a small culture, but it's a thriving culture.
It's a thriving culture. Yeah, hopefully he'll age that one because that's going to need it.
Off the top of my head, if you're going to do buckwheat and figs, I would think you're going to need a lot of figs for one. And I would think something Polish.
Didn't even think about that.
Heavy ABV. Good residual sugar amount, a lot of fruit. Just let it ride for a very long time and see what kind of stuff develops from it. It's probably not going to be a super fruity, happy little fun thing. It's probably going to be a little bit more of an alcohol heavy, slightly oxidized, a lot of dark fruit kind of flavors to it, but it could be a lot of fun.
I hope he does well. I did warn him about the dangers of starting with something other than a traditional, but I hope he does well. I didn't get his name. He was in a horrible rush, and he says, "Oh yeah, he does mead," and kind of thumbed his way toward me, and he goes, "You do mead?" And then he asked. I gave four or five responses to two or three questions, and he was gone.
Sometimes it's the best you can do, right?
Yeah, in my experience with the meads I make, that are generally 14, 16% anymore. I like setting them up to age. I've done both bottle and barrel, and the bottle ones don't have a wide range of difference,
But it's slight.
but it is there and it is slight. I've learned the benefit of doing bulk aging now, and I like doing that better because when I hand somebody off the bulk aged meat, I know it's so close to the bottle next to it, I'm gonna have trouble, let alone anybody else.
It's predictable enough.
Yeah, it's predictable enough. But in the 14, 16% I use, I like 6 to 8 months. And
I think that's a good ballpark just to get the flavors to develop right and good to get a, I don't want to say a final form, but an ideal kind of
it
flavor
hits a good
profile.
range for me. I will say, just like 3 or 4 months ago, I pulled out the last to give to my children, the last bottle of my daughter's wedding mead. From about almost 5 years ago, four years ago.
That has been a long time.
That has been a long time. I made her my blackberry vanilla, and I made 14 gallons, and I took about 12 bottles home. It
Was a good party.
was a great party, and many of the bottles that left, I did not leave opened. They oh, I'm going to take this home with me, and my daughter says, "I don't want to keep them. Take them." And I gave them to her. That was fine. That was part of my wedding present to my daughter. But I happened to find one in a mixed case that, I combined at some point, and it was in the bottom and the back of the storage area,
Like you do, yeah.
like you do. And it was about 4 and a half, I'm looking at 5 years old. And again, I said, "I don't even know if this is good anymore," because I've heard people say, after 3 years, you're kind of playing with fire. And my daughter says, "No, it tastes similar to what I had at my wedding." Apparently, that was as far as it was going to go. I mean, I'm glad it had a cap and not a progression to bad,
Right.
because that guys keep an eye on them. Because I've been told by more than one person and more than one mead master, after 3 years, you're rolling dice, and you better roll well every time.
This is kind of the problem I have when I give people mead too. I generally don't say, hey, you should probably sit on this for a month or two. Well, it's developing, maturing, whatever the hell you want to use. Because one of two things happens regardless of what I say. They will either basically drink it immediately, either at the same event that I give it to them, like a house party or what have you, or they will drink it within a week. Or they will sit on it for years and want to save it for a special occasion, and no occasion seems special enough.
I obviously do say you might want to wait this amount of time. I usually get a call within a day or three. Oh, that was really good. I like that. Okay, good. I'm glad you enjoyed it. And I generally, by the time I'm giving it to you, I'm happy enough. I'm truly happy enough, and that's awesome. I have no problem with that. But guys, aging. Now, aging with oak. Let's go into this one a
Sure. Yeah.
little
Oak is, I think, I've said it before. I will say it again. I will say it many, many times. A little oak can go a long way, even if you're not adding enough to be perceptually present. Just adding a little bit of oak can smooth out other flavors. It takes out some of the bite of a high acid. It's just all around good stuff.
And I have learned that again with the 1x2 to 2x4 encouragement method, that's absolutely true. That's absolutely true. You may or may not taste the actual oak in your mead, but the structure it provides is at the very least impressive. It gives a structure to the flavor profile, so it hits your mouth in such a way that it makes it a much better drinkable thing.
Right. And my general rule of thumb, if you're gonna start doing some kind of oaking on something, get 1/2 ounce per gallon of a medium toast French oak. It's to my way of thinking, it is the most like straightforward, middle of the road oak product out there. And let it sit for, give it a taste after a week. If you like where it's at and you want more, you can keep going. If you don't want a lot of perceptual oak flavor, you can probably pull it right there. That's probably all the oak you need. And that's going to give you the, like Chris was just talking about, the kind of the structure for the flavor, a little bit of added tannin character that really rounds out and develops the flavors, makes them play nice together. It's just a great thing.
Yeah, when we say round out, it literally smooths the flavor across your mouth. Quite literally, it takes away sharp edges away. So that's magnificent. If you have a light flavored mead, like you're doing a very light honey or with a pear or something, use a light oak char.
Lighter chars can be okay. They are That does not make them less powerful. It makes them a little bit more young flavored. So they're light toast American oak to me. Some people say it tastes like coconut.
That'd be cool.
I don't get that as much, but I'm also just not a big fan of American oak. It has a little bit too much of a bourbon character for my taste. It's a little too aggressive as well.
I'll be honest, ever since you taught me about oaking, I haven't used a bad oak yet. I mean, I tend towards the medium to dark, but I've used light toast American, and I have not been mad. I mean, I'd have to use two batches of the same, break a batch into two pieces and oak them differently to taste a significant difference, more than likely. But their structure was work completely worth it. Okay, aging too long. Can we talk about that?
At a certain point, if you've got your mead sitting on the same oak for an extended period of time, you can only really get so much of the good stuff out of the surface of that oak. At a certain point, usually that's in the neighborhood of, it can be as little as, if you're talking about like the chips, the really thin pieces, as little as like 2 weeks. The beans that we typically use, they call them beans, but they're like more like little like irregularly shaped cubes. Those you can go a month or two before you really start having to worry about that. But you can get other vegetal flavors, and vegetal is kind of the kind way to say
Green bean.
it tastes like plant
Like
in a
grass.
not in a great way.
Yeah, it tastes green. It has a green vegetable flavor that I guarantee you won't like it. I can all but guarantee you won't like it.
The green pepper, the raw wood character, yeah, it's just not what you're looking for drinking a nicely made alcoholic drink. So I would say keep an eye on it. If you're going to age on oak for more than about a month, taste it, decide whether it's a good time to pull and then use fresh oak if you need more oak.
Yeah. By the same token, I would check at least weekly. Okay, the first week I would check every 2 to 3 days. And if you just want to let it sit for 2 weeks, I would check it like 7 days in and then 7 days after that. Because this first 7 days you're gonna get a lot of the flavor out. The next 7 days, not as much. I don't know the percentages, and it depends what you're using, but you don't want to be surprised.
Absolutely not.
Now, other than before oaking, because I will age before oaking as well.
Sure. And that's the bulk aging, the secondary aging, especially. Those are the kind of things you want to do before oaking. You really want to let the yeast do their part. And that, again, we're talking about the opportunity to take some of these, the byproducts of fermentation, kind of get those finished out. They will metabolize those as well once the fructose and the glucose is gone. They can go back to some of their the weird off flavors and eat those as well, which is nice. It's a good idea to let your secondary complete before you really think about adding oak.
Yeah. One thing I've decided to do in my I have to get my just my general base stock back up because I'm running low on everything right
Sure.
now. Because I've guys, when you start making mead, you're gonna collect friends. Now, these are not the friends, this is not the ride or die friends like Jeff and I here, but you will collect friends. It's not a bad thing. It's a party. Enjoy. However, I have collected enough friends from enough places that I'm running low, so I have to restore myself. I've decided to do 2 rounds of my blackberry vanilla, and I'm gonna do the first round. And when I rack off the first round of blackberry vanilla, I'm gonna take the yeast in the bottom of that barrel and put it in the second round because I want to see what happens. And they're gonna be the same size barrel, but it'll already be rocking. So I'm gonna be happy about that.
You're gonna get to get a quick takeoff. I don't think you're gonna get a lot of difference, to be honest.
I hope I'm hoping I don't, but we talked about you collecting yeast to use later, once
Yes.
upon a time. And this is an ideal time for me to do exactly that
Yes.
and give a report on it in the future.
Well, and the process you would need for this, because you're using the same, you're basically doing the same batch twice
Yeah,
over.
I'm doing the same batch twice
So
over.
the repeat process for this is much less than, like, if you were doing two very different meads and you wanted to use the same yeast, you wouldn't have to go through and wash your yeast, for example.
Not sure I would.
You're not sure you would, or you're not sure how you would.
I mean, I don't know how to keep the yeast and wash at the same time. How about that? I mean, I'm a
Sure.
coffee filter.
No, actually, what you do is, let's talk about this real quick, because I'm about to wash some Voskvik yeast for my own storage and pass off to my buddy Chris here to make some of his own meats with. The way you do this, rack off, and that the sludge at the bottom, the detritus, the yeast cake, what you want to do is get a canning jar, usually guesstimate by sight, like
How much you need, how big of a jar
right,
you
how
need?
big of a jar you need. Add a little bit of distilled water just to get that broken up and moved, and then pour that into your canning jar, put a lid on it, put it in the fridge. It will separate.
To what is the separation? What if wherever the break in separation is, what's on top, what's on bottom? That's what I want to know.
I need to repeat this process, but when you fridge it like this, it'll separate basically a clear liquid, and then you're going to get two layers of yeast. So from what I've been told to do, what I've done in the past, if I remember correctly, and you fridge it, you let it separate, and then you pour off the clear liquid on top. From there, you add more distilled water, shake it up, spin it, whatever you want to do. If you've got the little like magnetic stir bar or laboratory spinner kind of thing, that works. Otherwise, just gently swirl it in your hand.
The centrifuge is what you're thinking of, yeah.
Let it sit for a few minutes. You're going to have cloudy water and then a thick cake of yeast at the bottom after just letting it settle for about 5 to 10 minutes. In this case, the cloudy stuff is living yeast. So you pour that off into your save container. The thick stuff at the bottom is basically the dead yeast, the detritus. So once all the cloudy stuff has been poured off, pour the other stuff down the drain or put it in your garden for fertilizer, whatever you're going to do with it.
Maybe I'll do that instead of just passing the yeast directly over, just have that experience.
Might be worth a shot. Fike yeast, from what I've been told, can stay in a like a washed state like this for a very long time. I've got some 5, 6 years that I'm not sure I'm brave enough to try and revive.
Be fun to. I don't know. I might be brave enough.
I mean, I've got some malt extract upstairs. We can just mess around on the stove for a little bit and make a little starter here.
Okay, but anyway, so that I hope we've gone over aging and the importance of, and the fact you will never see a pamphlet page or book on how long you should age anything that you should be willing to read.
Realistically, there are so many factors here that it's going to be a case by case basis every time. It's going to come down to your ingredients, your alcohol content, the sugar you're putting into it, the sugar, residual sugar after your fermentation, if any, and the sugar you are back sweetening with if you do that before you long term age or bottle or whatever have you. Those are all factors that are going to be important in what you're getting out of the aging. But like I said before, when you go to bottle, if you're not sure how long something should be aging, get some small bottles.
Yeah,
Just
that's a great idea.
it just gives you the opportunity to sample at regular intervals. Maybe pop a single beer bottle once a month. Is this better? Is this the same? If you get 2 months and they're roughly the same, you've probably reached your,
You got the end cap.
you've got the development you're
Yeah.
looking for.
But there you go. I mean, hope this helped you. This is something I put a lot of thought in on like last couple of days, because I wanted to get something that I love talking about what our plans are and what we're doing, but I want to keep you guys informed about what you can do.
We initially said we were going to talk about finishing steps for some of these session meads.
Yeah.
And maybe we'll cover that in the next episode because
Yeah.
we're already sitting in a good 45 minutes
Yeah,
here.
well, let's save that for the next round. But hey, guys, happy meeting. I hope you do well. Hope this helps you out. Give us a call back. And if you're anybody I've talked to in the recent past, which like means ever, if you have any questions, info@themeathouse.com. We'll be glad to answer anything you got and let us
Absolutely.
know.
Would love to hear from you guys.
Guys, thanks a lot, Jeff. Hey, have me over.
Cheers.